Hello, I'm Afif.
And I'm Long. Welcome to another episode of Kopi Overflow, a monthly podcast about software engineering. Today, one of our hosts, Gui, couldn't make it, but don't worry about it. Today we have a guest. I think it's a better option than having Gui around.
Definitely.
We have Esther, who is a product designer. Esther, do you want to give a quick introduction about yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Long, and thank you, Afif, and thank you, the absent Gui, for inviting me to Kopi Overflow. So, hi, everybody. My name is Esther, and I am a product designer currently working at Fave. And yeah, I work in a team of four, so it's a small team, but we cover a lot of stuff. Like, we have different platforms, like the consumer end, and also we have a platform for our merchants, and also we have a platform for our internal users. And so yeah, all four of us cover the spectrum of different products, and yeah, we help make magic happen, so to say. And thank you for having me.
That sounds awesome. Like, product designers and magic, they're basically the same.
Yeah, and I love magic.
Just so our audience know, maybe you could tell us, what do product designers do? Like, what are product designers responsible for in a team?
Yeah, sure. So product designers, actually, maybe we're better known in Malaysia specifically as UI UX designers, but I think there are a certain distinction between the two, because UI UX designers, as the name suggests, they focus on UI and UX, but whereas product designers is more than that. So there are, think about three circles, three different verticals that a product designer has to focus on. So there is design, obviously, the first one, and then secondly there is the business aspect of things, and thirdly is tech. So these three things encompasses what product design has to do. So basically, on a day-to-day basis, in at Fave at least, I can speak only from my personal experience, it's a very intimate end-to-end process. What does that mean? That means that we cover from the start, where it's discovery of user pain points through user research, to the design part, to the user testing, and to communicating with stakeholders, up until the launch and also post-launch iterations. So we cover the total end-to-end product design process. And as a product designer, you not only have to design, you also have to take into consideration the business aspect of things, and you have to also, you know, communicate very closely with the engineers. So it's a very well-rounded job, I suppose. It's not just one vertical, but whereas it's a cross collaboration between teams, and I find it very, very fun to go to work every day.
That sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like the normal term that we use in Malaysia, UI UX designer, is just like subset of the work that you do.
It's a subset, but it is also, I'm glad that the word, or like the phrase, or the occupation, the title of product designers getting more and more aware, like other people are getting more and more aware of this term, this occupation in Malaysia. So we are getting more and more exposure, and that's great, right? More and more people will know what we do, and that's a good side.
Yeah, I think that's very important, that more people recognize the importance of design in products, and especially in software products, where it often gets ignored. A developer with a couple of CSS tricks up in their sleeve, patching things up, thinking that, oh, that's the design work that people have been talking about. That's so easy. No, it's usually more complicated than that. Since we are like a software engineering podcast, and this is where our expertise interrelate to each other, maybe you could bring out a bit, like, do you have any frequent pain that you see when you work with dev in general? Is there a certain traits that software engineers should know about design to make things easier? Maybe that could help a lot of people.
I personally like to work with engineers because they always ask me very, very fun questions, and sometimes I don't know how to answer, and then it's just very interesting, right? You never thought about some things, and they come to you with a certain set of questions that just blows your mind away. I love working with engineers. So when you talk about what are the frequent pains, or what are some of the friction points, I guess, when working with engineers, when engineers come to me and say, hey, no, I cannot do, I find that very frustrating sometimes. But it's an internal joke with one of my colleagues, actually, because he always tells me, hey, cannot do. And I was like, what do you mean cannot do? jokes aside, right, it's not really like, oh, I think devs or engineers should work this certain way to accommodate designers. I don't think that's the case. But I think designers and engineers should work closely together. And because it's common, the engineers wouldn't appreciate that, like, when you just do the entire process, like, okay, product managers go to product designers about this problem, and product designers will just design the solution, and then at the end of it, hand over to the engineers to code it up, right? I don't like to treat our engineers as coding monkeys, because don't just throw a design to them and expect them to code it up. That's not how collaboration works. So I think it's better to work together closely. It requires early collaboration from the beginning, and likely how to do that is like ask engineers to join design sprints, ask for their opinions, and how that will contribute to the overall solution is that engineers are more likely to advocate for that solution. And they're less likely to say, A, cannot do, because they contributed part of that idea into the solution, right? So they feel like, oh, that's also part of my idea. I know why that should be done, and I can contribute to making that happen for the users. So I think, yeah, it's close collaboration that is necessary to help make magic happen, right? Yeah, it's not just one party that makes everything.
I can definitely relate to the A cannot do problem. Definitely been there. So totally agree with the early collaboration. I've had this issue in one of my earlier companies, and I definitely agree with earlier collaboration, where instead of having the final design dropped to the engineer and then the engineer saying we cannot do it, we just bring the feedback loop earlier in the process to actually discover that maybe there are some technical limitations. On that, Esther, do you have any kind of favorite tool or process or ritual that you think really helps in improving this collaboration with developers? Is it something that came from your experience?
In order to bring that early collaboration into the picture, right, we have something called UI sync sessions early on with developers, because we have, okay, developers will program everything up and then QA will test it. So rather than waiting for the developers to work and finish everything and then go to QA and then QA, you know, try to test the product and something breaks and the loop happens, why not we bring that process earlier into the picture, where engineers will have a weekly sync, for example, with the designers, and then we cross-check. Maybe some things are missed out, the engineers did not notice, the designers will be able to point that out early on, whether be it the animation, the interaction, or even down to, you know, pixels or spacing, things like that. So if you can discover the issues earlier, then it wouldn't be that frustrating when QA tested. When QA tested, maybe there will be less issues or less problems found, and that could just solve the issue of the crazy loop where keep on getting feedback from QA that this doesn't work or that doesn't work and stuff like that. That I would say is a process that, or ritual that we do. We have weekly sync sessions with our engineers to ensure that the product is smooth even before they go to QA.
This sounds to me like these early collaborations involving engineer earlier to get them to understand the problem and get their input on maybe on the feasibilities. I guess it somewhat helps that it builds up the empathy among the engineers towards that problem that product designer are trying to solve with their solutions. And you have that visual, the weekly sync. I think that's a really great idea. But I'm just curious that during these sessions, do engineers just talk about whether something can be done, like the feasibilities of the solution, or do they also give design critics? Do you think engineers should be giving design critics?
Oh, absolutely. At least the engineers that I work with, they do design critics. And initially, it sort of annoys me a little bit. Like, what are you talking about? Are you criticizing my design skills? Who's the designer in the room, you know? That's in the initial part. I guess how I was able to overcome that or not make it an issue is that understand that the engineers come from a point of view not to criticize your work or not to poke on your ego. Like, oh, your work is shit. No. That's not the case, right? So to separate between work and also personal, like, they're not attacking you. They're just thinking of ways to better the product. At the end of it, we all have the same goal, which is to make the product great for our users. And the key here is not to take it personally when engineers come to tell you, oh, this design doesn't look good and whatnot, but try to understand why they say that. What do you mean by the design is not good? Or like, what do you mean by you cannot do this? There are reasoning behind that that I think designers should also try to empathize, try to reach a middle point. You have to reach a win-win situation, right? You can't be like, oh, this cannot do, that cannot do, because the features that designers come up with is for the user's benefit. So there should be a common ground understanding between engineers and also designers that at the end of it, we're trying to make a product good.
So it's about reach the common understanding that we are all working on the same thing, just from different perspective.
Yeah, and that not to take to heart when, you know, engineers critique about our designs. Yeah, sometimes we also need to make engineers understand that this is why we designed it that way. Maybe the engineers did not think from the designer's perspective, so we need to explain it to them, like, why is this designed this way? For example, like reusable components. Oh, why are you using this one instead of the other button, this button instead of the other button? We have to explain to them our design choices if they think that it is something that needs to be straightened out.
Talk about things from engineer's perspective a lot. Maybe we can switch tone a bit on the designer side. Is there one designer skills or something developer can pick up that will bring improvement to their perspective while design or developing a product? Is there a certain one skill that you think that's very important?
I think it is to, first of all, be creative, and secondly, to advocate for the users. Because when you switch that mindset, right, or perspective, that you are actually coding something that is going to be beneficial for the users, I think you would do more. You would spend more time to think about, okay, how can I make this feature work for the users? But whereas if an engineer just thinks that, oh, this code, I can't do this, or, oh, there are certain limitations to what I can do, instead, then they would be more limited towards their own thinking, right? And if they are truly advocating or thinking from the user's perspective, they would be more creative. They are trying to solve a problem for the users. Then they will find different ways to solve the problem. Because a solution, there can be many, many ways of solutioning to one problem. Like, how do you get 4, for example? You can 2 plus 2 equals 4. You can 1 times 4 equals 4, you know. There are so many. 2 to the power of 2 is 4. So there are so many different ways to solve a problem. That's why engineers, I think, should think more creatively and be more open to different ways to solving a problem.
You were talking about this weekly UI sync to be the place where you collaborate with the engineers. And this is also where we aligned with the engineers on what to do. So you mentioned that product designers also do user research. Is this weekly sync also where you kind of share the results of the user's research? Does that help in convincing the engineers to vouching for users, like designing for users, bringing the user's perspective to engineers? Because I think I know a lot of engineering who doesn't actually talk to customers at all. They just deal with the product exclusively in silo. So just wondering if this UI sync also helps when you present all this user research.
In terms of the UI sync, it is quite far in the process already. So I think what you're trying to say is the beginning part of things, right? So UI sync is when the design is already out and handed over to the engineers, and engineers would already be developing it. So the UI sync is just to make sure that everything is aligned, everything is in place for in terms of the UI and UX. But whereas what you talked about, Afif, is at the beginning of the process, right? When we are doing user research to try to learn more about the user's problems, statements, or user's pain points. And yes, we do, to answer your question, yes, we do share our findings with our engineers. So for example, one good example that I can share is that we did an interview, user interview with our merchants, because I was working on the merchant platform previously. So we wanted to know, because of the pandemic, how did the pandemic affect them, affect their business? So we wanted to learn more from our merchants, right? So we did a virtual interview with our merchants across the region, which includes Singaporean merchants, Malaysian merchants, and also Indonesian merchants. So we talked to them and we asked them questions from the range of, how did the pandemic affect your business? How are you doing business differently, etc., right? When it's starting to open up again, what's the difference like between during the lockdown and also when it started to open up again? So how can we know more from the merchant's perspective in order to build a product so that it helps them to get more sales? After we conducted this research, we obviously tabulated all the findings, we compiled them, and we shared it across not just the product team. We also shared it with our business stakeholders. We shared it with our engineers too, because like you mentioned, Afif, is that engineers are not likely to be the ones who have close contact to the merchants or the users, right? So they would be able to get information from our findings that could also inform them of, okay, you're doing this for X amount of users, right? And this actually, your effort is towards building a better product for thousands or tens of thousands of users. So they can put that in mind, that their effort is towards that, towards bettering lives for these users. So that's the research part. And user testing is another thing. So sometimes we do user testing for certain features that we want to make sure that the behavior is correct and the UX is good. So we do this for our consumer platform. We also do this for our merchant platform. And after these user testings, we also share the findings with our engineers. So it's also giving us a bit of an advantage, us as in designers. When the engineers say, hey, cannot do, then it's like, hey, the user wants this. Give it to them. So that's giving us designers a little bit of leverage there. But fortunately, our engineering team is very open to discussing these things. They are not very stern and said that, oh, no, I don't think we should consider this. But they are always open to knowing more about why are we doing this? What is the benefit for our users? And I think that is great collaboration, great communication and learning from each other. And how to work together towards making better products. I think that is, yeah, that is what I'm grateful for.
So I guess weekly sync happens after there's already a design. That's where the sync happens. But then the user research is a lot earlier than that.
Correct. And engineers are not involved in the user research or user testing process. That is solely designers, right? So engineers has other things to work on. So we just share the findings with them, yeah.
Like what Esther brought up earlier, like, there's many solutions to the same problem. Engineers don't have to get involved directly in the user research, but they can also get the findings and insights that user researchers share. That's one way of getting engineers to know more about the context of the problem space as well.
Have any engineers ever joined all these user interviews? Do you invite them, or do you maybe have an idea of like inviting them in the future, or maybe...
This is interesting. They have never, so to answer your question, they have never joined a user interview or user testing session. Usually it's the product designer, me, and also the product manager. And the rest of it, the engineers or the extended product team and also the business stakeholders would get a summarized version of it, because user testing can be tedious and time consuming to a certain extent, and we don't want to also include too many people in the session because that would probably overwhelm the users. So we don't want to do that. But it's an interesting aspect, right, to think about, because inviting the engineers to the user testing session or user research session, I'm not sure if that would be helpful for the engineers. What do you guys think?
I have joined a couple of user interviews, probably two or three in my previous company, and it definitely helped in terms of understanding users better, because usually the only point of contact between engineers and customers, at least in my previous company, was the bug tickets, and you always curse customers in bug tickets. So you don't see what they're trying to do, how they are using products and stuff like that. So if your only point of contact with customers are bug tickets, it's going to be not a very good relationship. It definitely helped me personally to join, but I didn't join much of them. Like you said, we also have a lot of other things to do ourselves. I don't think I would be joining all of them, but maybe we can take turns or something like that. One engineer joined this time, and then the next time another engineer joined, something like that, to at least have all these engineers be listening to the customers themselves and get closer to customers, and then get closer to designers also, because they both listen to the same conversation, both designers and developers.
How we try to also make engineers understand the frustrations of our users is very frequently we quote the users. Like, let's say users say a certain thing and we think that it's very impactful, then we will quote the users, or even sometimes we show videos or audio sections of the user saying that thing to be able to give engineers a better idea of what happened during the user research session.
I actually wanted to bring up my own experience where I was in the team without designer, and we wanted to kickstart some process or a culture to understand our users more. So what we did, instead of interviewing our actual paying customers of the product, we actually interview some of our internal user instead. So we have that product and it's used by our internal user within the organizations. And we, a couple of engineers, and we have this one head of design who's not working directly in the product team or in the team that the product that I brought up, we sort of use the guide that he provided to conduct a couple of interviews that's about this product that's being internally used, which we also sell to external customers. And some of the findings that's quite surprised me a lot is like a lot of the assumption that we have got completely destroyed, where we always assume that our customer actually know that they are using our product, but our product just appear as additional features of the platform that our product resides on. Our customer actually are not aware that our apps exist in this platform that they've been using. They just thought that it's just part of the features. They're completely not aware of the existence of our product within that ecosystem. I think this is my experience. That's like, wow, there's a lot of things that engineers don't know about. And this is just like random users that we pick up from our internal users. And I can't imagine like a product with thousands and thousands of users. What are the assumptions that engineers might have about the product they're working on without user research and designers giving us the context and insights?
I think it's definitely helpful when engineers join these user interviews. The question is, are they interested? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of them just wants to code. Sadly.
And to also echo Long, right, is user research is a very humbling experience because it's not just breaking designers' assumptions, it's breaking engineers' assumptions, it's breaking everybody's assumption. We expect users to behave a certain way, but then it's like it breaks everything, right? Either validates your idea to be true, or it's just telling you like, okay, your assumptions are bad, you know, start again. So I think it's always surprising sometimes, right? Yeah, it's always a very, very nice educational space where you get educated by your users. Yeah, it's always fun to see the results.
It also can be something that can amaze you. Sometimes the way customers actually are very smart. I remember in my previous company, one of the products that we are doing, so the customer really did a lot of advanced stuff with our product that's not actually supposed to be what the use case of our product is. It's just amazing. And then it also prompts us to create a persona for advanced users. This advanced user persona can be used to guide designers and developers to create advanced features that we didn't think about. We were doing something simple, and then the customers have the smart mind of extending that further. And we will not know these advanced use cases if we didn't talk to the customers. And we would just be developing simple use cases. But actually, the talking to customers actually provided a lot more insights on what we can actually do, and both for designers and also developers.
That's the beauty of it, yeah.
So we have talked about user interviews quite extensively, but I would like to backtrack a bit. I guess this question was probably better at the beginning. How did you become a product designer, and what would be your advice for someone who's interested to maybe switch track? Maybe from a developer to become a product designer, or like from a pharmacist to a product designer. I don't know.
Contrary to popular belief, I was not born as a product designer. Yeah, jokes aside, I'm not a product designer from the beginning as well. So I was a graphic designer, even though there are some differences. I suppose you can also still say that there are certain similarities there too. So I studied graphic design in university, and then I was a graphic designer for around 4 years before I transitioned to this current job at Fave as a product designer. So how did that transition? I was quite lucky, I suppose, that when I was in my previous job, I was a graphic designer at a design agency. So then I was given the opportunity to work on some digital projects, which included some apps and some websites. It was some really lucky circumstances that I was given these projects, and suddenly I found out that, oh, I'm actually interested in doing digital stuff, websites, apps, and those things, as compared to print-based stuff. Not to say that print-based stuff aren't great, because I do think those are fabulous if you can do it right, but personally I just am more attracted to digital products and digital design. So that was how it was for me. And I got the opportunity to work for a couple months as a designer at Boost. Back then, they they weren't, you know, as big as they are currently. Back then, they were still transitioning from being a top-up app to top up to your mobile credits and whatnot. They're just starting to transition from that to an e-wallet that they are today. So I joined, and then I was exposed to all these different terminologies of product and product manager, and I was just dumped into a pool of knowledge and started to need to learn how to swim in that pool, right? It was such a great experience for me, and that I decided that I needed to further my career in that prospect. So I interviewed for Faith, and you know, as a junior, and I got in, and yeah, the rest is history. So what advice would I give to people who want to make that transition or make that jump is to be open to learning, be open to opportunities. And with learning everything, there is a gap between what you know and what you don't know. There was a gap for me from being a graphic designer to being a product designer. So you have to learn to close that gap. There wouldn't be a point that there's not a gap there, because there will be when you're making a career transition. But what you can do is to close that gap, to learn about things that you don't know yet. To learn about, let's say I was a graphic designer back then, so I had to learn more about product design, to expose myself to the community, to learn about the terminologies, the jargons, the way to design, because the world is ever changing. And especially, you know, we work in tech, we know that one day I could be using XD, the next day I'm using Sketch, and now you know I'm using Figma. So it just changes so quickly, right? It doesn't matter the tools that I use, but what matters is the skills, right? The learning skills, the ability to adapt and be flexible and learn quickly. Those are essential skills for anybody who wants to transition. And yeah, for engineers who wants to explore product design, I say that's great, you know, because then you would have both the brain of an engineer and also a designer. That's like the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, it kind of intrigues me as well. Coming from graphic designers to product designers, I guess this must be a mountain of stuff. Like, user research is probably something not in graphic designing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you probably have to pick up, like all this analytics. Wait, product designers, do you guys look at analytics as well? Or is that the product managers?
Oh yeah, we look at data too, yes.
Yeah, so that's also one more thing that's going to be different from graphic designers and whatever career tracks. Yeah, that's a really good advice.
What Afi brought up about the analytics, whether it's a product manager things or something that product designer is also involved, I think that's a good point to bring up about this next question that I'm interested to know, is how much influence do you think, Esther, that a product designer should have on the product itself compared to product managers? Is there a clear boundary between these two roles?
In the context of myself, there isn't a hard set of rules and regulations that dictates the product designers, you do this, product managers, you do this. There isn't a clear guideline, and I think that there are a lot of overlaps. There are many overlaps between responsibilities of a product manager and product designers. We each have our separate domains, but we work together a lot and we work closely. And like I mentioned just now, right, that a user interview session or research session would involve most of the time product designer and product manager. That is the overlap, right? That not only a product designer can do an interview, product managers can also join in. And what kind of boundaries does a product designer have? I guess at Fave, at least, it's clear to us that we don't separate our job scopes, right? In fact, we ask this question, how can we do this together? Then we will separate the sort of job scope. We would say that, okay, I will lead this part of things. Like, for example, I will craft out the user research questions, and then you would help out in terms of consolidating or summarizing all the data points, for example. And product managers would be handling the timeline of the whole feature, when to start the sprint and when to launch the product, and also work with QA team to schedule all the launches. those things like that. So product managers are, think about it, they are probably like tiny CEOs for their products and features, right? So they handle everything from the timeline to communicating to designers, users, and also engineers. And then after launching, they also do post-launch iterations, collecting data of whether or not the product is good or the product needs iteration or improvements. And also they do talk to marketing team as well, try to understand like what's the best way to market this product once it's launched. So I think there are different domains that we both hold, and there are certain overlaps between the two roles, and there isn't really a clear distinction of what I do and what you do. Most of it is really teamwork and communication, like how can we do this together.
So there's no clear boundaries to accessing the resources to do something. It's just that the end product for each role is very different in terms of that. So I guess nobody is limited to accessing all the analytics. It's just that product managers look that to come up with the designs, and then product managers do that to come up with something else that's related to their role.
And we also look at data, and sometimes when we want to access certain data that we are unsure of, or we need help from product managers to look up that kind of data, then we also ask them for help, and they would gladly also help us.
So just for context, like how did I came to the question was that previously I was working in a team without a designer. So the product manager sort of double as a product designer as well. I got so used to having the design coming from a product manager instead of a product designer. So and then now that we have a dedicated product designer, it's like, things got so much easier. And the product manager, I guess, is not so overwhelmed with so many works anymore. Yeah, because design was not easy. Before we end this episode, maybe Esther, do you have anything that you want to bring up or promote, or about maybe where people can reach out to you or anything?
Sure. Thanks for the space for me to promote. Basically, if you are wanting to be a product designer and you don't know where to start, you can always reach out to me. I'm available. Or you can look up for me on Twitter. It's at Esther Koon, E-S-T-H-E-R-K-O-O-N. And you can always drop me a DM and ask me questions. Or you can also find me on LinkedIn, the same handle. Or if you have heard of this website called ADP List, it's short for AwesomeDesignPeopleList.com or .org. I need to clarify. Just Google search ADP List, right? I am one of the mentors on it. And it is a website for people to find mentors, design mentors to talk to. And if you have any questions about wanting to jump into product design, you can book a time slot with me there. And yeah, so I always talk to people. I don't bite usually. And what else? Recently, I've just launched something which is quite a baby of mine. I just designed this product with my business partner, and it's called Trippy. And it's TRIPHIE.com. So it is envisioned to be a travel planner where users will be able to use that to plan all their travels and access everything right from one place. So no more digging through your email thread to find your flight tickets or your hotel bookings. It's just all managed in one place. So yeah, I guess that's about it. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Yeah, thanks for being our guest for this episode as well. I guess that's conclude our episode today. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can always find us on Twitter at Copy Overflow. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all common channels for podcasts. So don't let your copy overflow. See you guys.
Yay.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.